I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. Today I am joined by Ira Suprungrung. He is the author of Talk Thai, which is a richly told tale of one boy's life growing up as a first-generation Thai American in 1980s in America. And on one side of the door, the enticing smell of sweet, spicy food and the calm of Buddhist devotion. On the other, the strangeness of a new land. When Ira Suprungrung was born to Thai parents newly arrived in the U.S., they picked his Jewish moniker out of a book of American names. In this lively, entertaining, and often hilarious memoir, he relates the early life of a first-generation Thai American and his constant, often bumbling attempts to meet cultural and familial expectations while coping with the trials of growing up in 1980s America. Talk Thai is a richly told account that takes us into an immigrant's world. Here is a story imbued with Thai influences and the sensibilities of an American upbringing, a story in which Ira practices English by reciting lines from TV sitcoms and struggles with the feeling of not belonging in either of his two worlds. Talk Thai provides generous portions of a rich and ancient culture while telling the story of a modern American boyhood with humor, playfulness, and uncompromising honesty. Ira Suprungrung has published fiction, nonfiction, and poetry in numerous periodicals and co-edited What Are You Looking At? The First Fat Fiction Anthology and Scoot Over Skinny, the Fat Nonfiction Anthology. He is Assistant Professor of English at the University of South Florida and lives in Brandon with his wife and three dogs. Ira, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Oh, thank you for having me, Lisa.
Yeah, Ira, your book was so fantastic. You are such an incredible writer. And
The
story, and you are funny. I mean, your humor is just kind of threaded throughout the book, and it's just beautiful. And, you know, the book opens with your mother giving you a small Buddha to wear around your neck that has been in your family for years. It's passed down from generation to generation. How old were you, and how did you feel when she was giving it to you?
I was 6 years old at the time when she gave me the Buddha, and it was the first day, it was our first day of first grade, and I felt that this act of giving a Buddha was this intimate connection to culture, to Thailand, a place that my mother and my family pretty much has raised me to think was home for the longest time. And so, you know, when I received that Buddha, when she's telling me that this Buddha belonged to, you know, to my ancestors, you know, saying that this was, you know, this in my blood ran, you know, was the blood of Siamese warriors, you know, I truly felt like, wow, this is such a great connection to a place that I heard about all the time and I went in vacation to, but I really didn't know either, you know. I was born in Chicago.
Well, that's what's so interesting about the book. I mean, it just seems so complicated because your mother was, you know, you had these rules, and rule number 6 was never speak English in the house, which must have been so challenging. And then also, you know, she would constantly say, you're Thai, which is fine. But at the same time, you're American, and having to try to figure out where you belong and having these complicated rules, or what seemed,
yeah.
I just, you know, tell us about that.
Well, that's, you know, that's the thing. You know, for the first 6 years of my life, my parents raised me to be nothing but Thai. I couldn't speak any other language but Thai in the house. You know, we ate Thai food, and we bought Thai groceries. We answered the phone in Thai. And so when I went to first grade for the first time, I realized there was this other world, and this other world had cool things like the Thundercats and awesome, you know, cartoons and all this stuff that I didn't realize, you know, America had to offer. And so suddenly I was exposed to this other world, and I you know, and as soon as that happened, as soon as you're exposed to America and America culture and American media, it begins to just slowly infect the house. It kind of invades the cracks of our foundation. And suddenly, you know, I wanted to speak English. I wanted to watch American TV. I wanted to speak English without an accent. And I think this is what a lot of immigrants in our country, especially kids, go through, which is, you know, how much do they assimilate? What do they sacrifice? And for me, a lot of times I didn't want to be Thai as I was growing up. I want to deny every part of me that was Thai so that I could fit in American culture. Of course, as I grew older, it's the tie I want to preserve in me, too. It's my heritage, my culture, is where I come from. It's what makes me unique. But when I was a kid, I wanted to deny all those things.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I actually, one of the quotes that I chose, it was so hard not to just sit there and quote your whole book because it's so great, but you wrote, quote, America began secretly invading our bi-level, seeping through cracks underneath doors, climbing through open windows like an invasive vine that devoured houses in the South. And I thought the word invasive, it really struck me because to your mother it was invasive, but to you I think it was something that you were welcoming and wanting to learn more about, which you had just touched on.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was interesting. Now, do you think your mom just felt threatened and afraid that you would lose your Thai heritage altogether because of all the nutty things we have in American culture that, you know, can suck kids in?
Well, I think, you know, I think the Thai immigrant's a different type of immigrant. You know, my mother always thought, and a lot of the Thai immigrants always thought that America would be just a workplace, that ultimately they would come to America, make money, and then eventually end up in Thailand. Thai people are incredibly nationalistic. They have a strong streak of nationalism. So my mother's dream for me actually was to come to America and, you know, get married, have a kid, but also that kid would be, you know, that would become a doctor and eventually marry a Thai woman and then go back to Thailand with her. And pretty much live in the same house and raise her. That was her dream. That's always been her dream. So I think for my mom, I mean, I think that the line that I always remember that she said she began packing as soon as she arrived in America, because this was not a place that she saw living the rest of her life in. She always thought of going back home.
Oh, that's interesting. And what about for your father? What did he feel?
Well, my father, you know, I think my father had the same kind of reaction, but he was a dreamer. He saw America as this world of opportunity where he could do anything he wanted. He had these crazy dreams of wanting me to become a professional golfer,
yeah,
wanting to open a restaurant, wanting to do this, wanting to do that. And of course, you know, the reality sinks in that, you know, you can only do so much, you can only have so much, that America can't offer everything. And so that was part of what the book was about too, which is about, you know, what you kind of redefining what the American dream is. You know, what does it mean? Usually when we say the American dream, we're often thinking about success, the measure of success. But many times, my parents were successful, and they were successful period. My mother worked as a nurse. My father was a supervisor at a tile factory. We lived in a nice suburb, had two cars. So once we have that success, what else is there to dream about?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for my family, the American dream was really about happiness, survival, how to hold a family together despite all these fears and distrust of the culture, the world that we found ourselves in.
Oh, that is so, it's so fascinating. And, you know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting was that, you know, you write about becoming interested in Jesus. And I think this is one of my favorite lines in the book. You write, quote, I was beginning to think that Jesus was a Mattel toy that everyone had but me. And I'm Jewish, feeling like I didn't fit in. And so I related to that in your book.
Well, yeah, and I think that being Buddhist then was another way of trying to negotiate where I was in this country. I found the rest of the, you know, all of my classmates at Harnu Elementary weren't. I was the only Buddhist pretty much, I felt like, in Oak Lawn, Illinois, the suburb where I grew up for a long time. And again, I was trying to find my fit, and I began to wonder, you know, what were those crosses around my friends' necks, you know, what's this thing they call confirmation, and, you know, why are they getting so many gifts during confirmation, and why wasn't I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember we were talking about how you started to cross yourself. I don't know what it's called, but, you know, when you do the...
When you just sign the cross, right.
The sign of the cross, yeah. See, I show my ignorance being Jewish, but at any rate, I remember you started doing that a lot, and your mother caught you doing that. And if you could tell us about that, what is there about her reaction?
Well, you know, I saw a friend of mine do the sign of the cross before taking a test, and I thought it was the coolest thing. I thought, like, wow, what a cool movement. And so I began doing it too without knowing what it meant. I had no clue what it meant. But I just thought it looked cool. So I started doing it, and my mother caught me once. I don't remember, what I was doing when she caught me, but she's like, you know, why do you do God thing, you know? And I was such, at that time, I was learning about religion for the first time. I was learning about Christianity. I was having conflicts with Buddhism and being caught doing the cross and hearing about heaven and how cool heaven could be.
Yeah.
All things were fascinating to me. And so my mother would was so angry and say, you know, go be with God people or good people, you know. So I got a trial.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that was interesting in the book is that I think you were around eighth grade and you became friends with the boy who was Thai named Sampan, and you were reluctant to introduce him to your friends from school because you felt like if they didn't like each other, you'd have to choose, and it felt like you had to choose which world you preferred. And again, that's like such a prominent theme in the book. But eventually they did meet, and I think they all got along.
Yeah, they got along swimmingly.
Right.
But that was always the case throughout my life, is keeping what was Thai separate from what was American.
Mm-hmm.
I was so afraid of letting those things kind of mix. It would be like, I thought, you know, if I did have them mix, it would be like having two flavors that didn't really go together.
Yeah, that's
you
a
know?
Great way to... Mm-hmm.
So I was so afraid of that. But in the end, they were great. And I think what it showed was that, I think this is true, that America is more welcoming than sometimes you think, right? It could be very closed in many ways, but also very welcoming.
Now, are your parents still here? Or did
they moved back to Thailand.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, they did. My mother moved back. My father moved back before, and my mother moved back in 2004. She was here since 1968, so it's like about 36 years. And my mother and Auntie Sue, 36 years. And, yeah, they decided they went to go back to Thailand.
Oh, my goodness. Now, do you get to visit them often, or do they
come
back?
I go. I try to go every other year. And right now, though, my mother's in her 70s, so it's harder for her to do the 20-hour trip. But she did come and visit me in Tampa this year, and it was a really good time.
Oh, that's great. Now, how are you feeling now? I mean, are you, just your childhood having to keep everything separate? It must have been so difficult for you, but it sounds like now as an adult, it's everything sort of integrated.
It is integrated, but at the same time, I think this is the reason why I write. I'm still trying to figure out a lot of these things. I'm trying to figure out what it is to be a Thai American, what it is to be an immigrant son. And I think it's actually even more perplexing at times or isolating at times, because now, because my family has moved back to Thailand, I suddenly realize that my closest blood relation is 8,000 miles away. I've married a Caucasian wife, and so this realization at times of being without family or being far from my family could be very lonely. And I think a lot of times this is sometimes, the life of an immigrant son is that, for a while, I thought that having my mother and my family in America was what kept me Thai. And now because I don't have that anymore, I begin to wonder what it is Thai. And I fear of losing that Thai part. So this is why I think I write. Part of writing is this preserving the Thai culture, the Thai heritage, the Thai blood in me.
Yeah, one of the things, too, that I think is so awesome is you wrote in the book about having trouble with the language and how it was sort of like, math came easier and it was like a Rubik's Cube, and here you are, you teach creative writing, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's so cool, and that must feel really good. Like, that just stood out to me. How neat.
Yeah, yeah. It's wonderful. I take so much joy in teaching creative writing. It's because I found, to me, I'm teaching something I love, and I'm teaching something that has really helped me in my life figure out the things that needed figuring out.
Yes. Well, you know, I would love to have you back on. I want to read your other books. The title cracks me up, The Speed Over Skinny. That is just...
Yes, those two titles, the two anthologies
so
about fat, yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely love to have you back on. Now, Ira, how can people learn more about you?
People can definitely visit my website, which is www.sukrungrung.com, and it'll have more information about my books. I'll also have Thai recipes, Auntie Sue's Thai recipes on there that I put up.
Oh my god!
And also,
I love Thai food.
Oh yeah, and there's some really wonderful essays, and also there's some great outtakes and alternate endings for the book too, if people are interested.
Great. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, this has been such a pleasure. You are wonderful. Your book is fantastic. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye. Ira, that was so great.